Good morning.
Pastor Jesse kind of stole part of my message already with what he was saying there. Not with a portion, but image of God, but we'll get to that in a little bit. But this morning I had the opportunity to share with you, and Pastor Jesse just said, hey, at the end of last year, hey, you want to pick out some dates that you can get the message this year? And so we just looked at, Esther and I looked at the calendar, said, okay, well, this will work, and this will work, and this will work. Picked out some dates and didn't think about it, but when it came to time to prep for the sermon, I was like, okay, God, what do you want me to speak about? What do you want me to talk about today? And we were looking at it, and Esther was like, well, Micah, do you know what Sunday is? And I said, yeah, it's this coming Sunday. She was like, well, what's significant about it? And it's the 22nd of January. And I was like, okay. She said it is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. Did you guys know that? Today is a day that we basically remember what happened 50 years ago. Anybody know what happened 50 years ago? This day. Roe v. Wade was passed, and now for the first time since that has passed, we can celebrate this day knowing that at least there's been a start of a change, a start of a swing, something that has been happening. But it doesn't mean our job is done. It doesn't mean everything's fixed and all the babies are safe now. It's still a day to remember the lost. It's a day to fight for the unprotected. And I want to begin this message with some quotes I came across in preparation of today, Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. And it says, the real question today is not when human life begins, but what is the value of human life? I have often said we need to join in prayer to bring protection to the unborn. Prayer and action are needed to uphold the sanctity of human life. I believe it will not be possible to accomplish our work, the work of saving lives, without being a soul of prayer. I call upon the citizens of this blessed land to gather in homes and places of worship to give thanks for the gift of life, and to reaffirm our commitment to the dignity of every human being and the sanctity of each human life. Anybody ever hear that before? Guess who said that? Our president. President Ronald Reagan, back in 1984, he said, you know what? He was completely against abortion. He was against the killing of babies. And he said, we need to set this day as a day that we say, this is what's going on in our country, and we need to bring it to an end. We need to bring it to a stop. And those words are from a president. It's hard to believe that those quotes, those words, literally came from the president, an active president in the United States while he was president. We need to join in prayer to bring protection to the unborn. Prayer and action are needed to uphold the sanctity of human life. It will not be possible to accomplish our work, the work of saving lives, without being a soul of prayer. How times have changed, huh? Can you imagine our president today saying those things? Times have changed, our government changed, and yet those words still ring true today, more than probably than ever. Because, yeah, maybe Roe v. Wade was taken down and things are changing slightly, but the fight's just beginning. It's not like they're going to give up and say, okay, well, you won, it's all over. No, it's just the beginning. We need to fight for the unborn. We need to fight for the sanctity of human life today, like every other day. And with that, let's open up with the word of prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this morning and this opportunity you're giving me to be able to speak this morning, Lord. I thank you for everyone who brought here this morning. Lord, I pray that we would have open ears and open hearts to hear your word, Lord. I pray that you would give me the words to speak today. And Lord, that we would be able to hear and act upon your word, Lord. We would hear how much you love us, how much you love and cherish life. In your name, Jesus, amen. Today is a day set aside to remember and to pray for the sanctity of human life. And what exactly does that mean? Sanctity is defined as the state or quality of being holy, sacred, and valuable. So when you're fighting for the sanctity of human life, you're fighting for something of value, something holy, something set apart. And today is a day to remember that all human life is sacred and valuable. Today is this day to set aside, like President Reagan said, to reaffirm our commitment to protecting the lives of both the born and the unborn. And that brings me to my first point I want to talk to you about today. Human life is sacred and priceless. President Ronald Reagan posed that question at the beginning of that quote that I shared with you. He said this, he said, "What is the value of human life? What is the value of human life?" And so I thought about that. I was like, this is something I want to try to discuss and go. And I was like, okay, what is the value of human life? God, what is it? And well, in honor of my dad, Pastor Jesse, the first thing that came to mind is, you know, when he has a question, what does he do? Anybody know? He goes to Bing. So I had my computer up and I like typing things in too and asking questions. But instead of going to Google, which I normally go to, I said, I'm going to type in Bing. So I went to Bing. And the first answer, this is the first thing that came up, it said this. I said, what is the value of human life? And it said, based on 9 different studies, the U.S. Department of Transportation determined that the statistical value of a human life is somewhere near $9 million. So according to them, that's what your life is worth. Right around, give or take a little bit, $9 million. Now that might seem like a decent amount of money. Okay, I'm worth $9 million. I'm a $9 million man. Great for me. But there's a few quarterbacks and a few other people make a little bit more than that. But hey, $9 million, I'm not going to complain. It's a nice amount of money. Nice chunk. Now, although that might seem like a decent amount of money, I started reading further and further in the articles and looking at the different things, and your value, how much you're worth, that $9 million starts to drastically go down depending on how old you are. The older you are, the less life you have, kind of affects that. Or what your health is, or what your job is, or all these different attributes, all these different things kind of determine whether you're up here closer to 9 or down closer to like 1 or 2 or 3 million. Or maybe you're up way up there. But the average is 9, but it goes up and down and up and down depending on who you are, what you're doing, what your possessions are, what you have, what your job status is, what your health status is, and goes on and on. Thankfully, God doesn't set our value based on the U.S. Department of Transportation, correct? He doesn't set it on that. Instead, our value comes directly from the original source, not Bing, not Google. It comes from God. He doesn't look up the Bing and say, okay, well, Mikey, you're worth $9 million today. If you keep on doing this, maybe I'll bump you up to 10. No, he knows what our value is because he created us. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 27, it says this. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky, over the livestock and over all the earth, and over every crawling thing that crawls on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. We were created in the image and likeness of God. This alone sets us apart from all the rest of creation. It goes through, if you go through Genesis, it talks about how he made the birds of the sky and the fish of the sea and the crawling creatures and the creeping creatures and the livestock and all these different things. And he made all this stuff, and it was good. But like Pastor Jesse said, when it came to the humans, he said it was very good. We are very good. We're not just good, we are very good. And it sets us apart because what separates us from my pet cats is that this image right here is of God. You look at a cat, you don't see God in that cat. You might love your dog, you look at that dog, but that's not really the image of God. You and I have the image of God implanted on us because we were created in the image and likeness of God. Here we see that of all God's creation, only humans were created in the image and likeness of God. Was the rest of the stuff, less of creation, good? Yes. Is it valuable? Yes. But we are set apart because God created us and he said it is very good. Our worth and our value are connected directly to our Creator. If God is of great and unfathomable worth, which he is, then human beings made in his image and in his likeness must also be of great value. Because if you have something that is of unfathomable value, something that is so great, so impressive, so amazing, and you make something that mirrors that, that reflects that, that is like that, that's going to have value in itself because you see that and you see, oh, that's the Creator. The Creator made that. The Creator had his hand in that. We are valuable. We have our worth. We are sacred because the Creator made us. He created us. He fashioned us. He made us in his image. Sacred, the word sacred, is defined as dedicated or set apart for the worship of God. We are, as his creation, meant to know him and to make him known. We are to draw close to him, to understand him, to love him, and to share that love and that understanding with others. Dedicated or set apart for the worship of God. It means highly valued and important. It means connected to God. To be sacred means there's a connection that comes with that to God. He calls us sacred. We are connected with our Father. We are connected with our Savior. Human life is sacred. Our lives are sacred because we were made in the image and likeness of our Creator, of our God. I came across this quote from Pope John Paul II. He said this. He said, all human life, from the moment of conception and through all subsequent stages, is sacred because human life is created in the image and likeness of God. From the moment of you are conceived until your last breath, you are sacred because you are created in the image of God. And we know it even continues farther than that when we are with him in heaven. Our value is not determined by our age, our sex, our nationality, our health status, or our wealth. We were all made in his image and likeness and are all of great value. Eddie, you are of great value because you were made in his image. Sue, you are of great value because you were created in God's image. Human life is sacred and of great value because God took special care to craft every single one of us. Look around us. There's a few people here, right? Look around our state. Look around our country. Look around the world. Now look back thousands and thousands of years in our history books. God crafted each and every one of those people to be different. And yet they all share the attribute of God. They were made in the image and likeness of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he has planned for us long ago. We are his masterpiece. He calls you and I his masterpiece. This is something you get excited about. My daughter Estelle right now, she's painting this picture of basically like this face and some plants and stuff. And it's looking amazing. But then I just was looking at it this morning. I was like, wow, she's like, I'm on a third of the way done or something like that. I was like, wow, Estelle, you're doing an amazing job. She's really good at art and stuff like that. She's doing that. I was like, this is amazing. And it got me thinking, you know, like, it's like God, he's just standing back. He's like, yep, I'm going to do this and this and this. And he's making his own masterpiece with each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. Or you are God's masterpiece. He's created and fashioned you to be just like you are. He's made you. He created you in his image. We are his masterpiece. In Psalms 139, 13 through 14, it says, for you created my innermost parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you because I am awesomely and wonderfully made. Awesomely and wonderfully made. God took the time to say, I'm going to create this being. I'm going to make this person. I'm going to create this because I love you. I want to make you awesomely. I want to make you wonderfully made. The creator of the universe, just think about that for a minute. The creator, God, the creator of the universe and of all living things, cares so much about us that he is involved in the most intimate of details to say, hey, I'm going to give you this hair color. I'm going to give you this nose. I'm going to give you this and that. He created us. I'm going to give you this character. I'm going to give you this personality. I'm going to give you this and this and this. God created us. He's involved in that. He's involved in bringing us up, making us who we are. The creator of the universe wants to be connected with us. Human life is sacred because God loves us beyond measure. God loves you beyond measure. You can't put a value on it. God doesn't say you're worth 9 million or 10 million or 50 million. God loves you and it's immeasurable. He loves us so much that he was willing to sacrifice his one and only son for us. John 3:16, for God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That was God saying, hey, I want to give my son because that's what needed to get us connected back together. He sacrificed his son. As a father, I have 10 kids. You used to be like, okay, well, you have a lot. Maybe easy to give one. No, I can't give one of them away. I couldn't even imagine sacrificing one of my kids, let alone God had one. And he said, okay, I'm going to sacrifice this one, my one and only son. Not my one and many, my one and only son. I'm going to sacrifice this son because I love my masterpiece so much that I'm going to give this up for them. And this love comes not only from Father God, but it comes from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Even before Jesus came, back in Isaiah 53, verse 5, before Jesus had come to the earth as a baby, Isaiah 53, 5 declares what's going to happen. And it says, but he, being Jesus Christ, talking about Jesus Christ, it says, but he was pierced for our offenses. He was crushed for our wrongdoings. The punishment for our well-being was laid upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. So Isaiah knew the day would come when the Savior would come and do this because he loves us so much. Human life is so important that Jesus Christ came to earth knowing the pain and the suffering he would endure, but knowing without it, we would be forever separated from him and his Father. And he said, you know what? I know this is going to be painful. I know this is going to cost me a lot. I know I'm going to be crushed. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be spit upon. But I love you so much that I want you to be connected with me and connected with the Father that I'm willing to sacrifice it all, even to the point of death, because I love you. Father God created you. Father God wants to be a part of your life. How can we put more value on a life than that? someone who had sacrificed their only son, someone who had sacrificed their life, sacrificed everything for us. Human life is truly sacred and priceless. And that brings me to my second point. Now that I've shown you the sanctity of human life and the value that God puts on life, which is unfathomable, unmeasurable, let me remind you of this. My second point is simply this. Your life, Neil, your life, Anna, your life is sacred, valuable, and has a purpose. Your life is sacred, valuable, and has a purpose. Repeat that. Say, my life is sacred, valuable, and has a purpose. One more time. My life is sacred, valuable, and has a purpose. You see, sometimes the hardest thing to do is to come to realization that God really loves me, really loves you. Sometimes we get caught up in everything else going around that we forget that God just loves us. God just wants to be a part of us. God wants to be connected with us. That sacred means connected to God. God wants to have that connection because he made you in his image, because he made you in his likeness, because he loves and wants to be a part of you. And we need to be reminded that our life is sacred, valuable, and has a purpose because God created it. God gave it to us. It's not because of what we have done or not done. It's not because of what we possess or do not possess. It's because we are made in his image and we are his. He created us. He wove us together. He knew us before we were even born. He knew you as you were in your mother's womb. He knows those babies as they are in their mother's wombs. He knows those babies as they're being taken out of their mother's womb. I'm sure he weeps for that. God loves us from the beginning through all eternity. He created us with a plan and a purpose. You are not an accident. You aren't just here to fill a seat, to fill a space. God loves you and has a plan for you. What is that plan? What is that plan? What are you to do? Well, we were talking with the youth group on Thursday night. Eddie was there. We were talking and we were giving some examples and stuff like that. And like some of them were like, okay, what's God's plan for you? What do you want to do? And it came up like, well, maybe I'd be a WWE fighter and I'd be able to declare God's goodness. Well, we're not all called to be wrestlers, okay? Maybe one of you someday, one of the kids, I'd say, well, maybe one of you someday will hold that Lombardi trophy over your head. No Eagles this year, but well, not no Steelers. But hold that Lombardi trophy over your head and be able to say, you know what? I won this, but you know what's more important than this? My Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But we're not all created to be wrestlers or NFL players or even the President of the United States who said in the beginning, hey, let's set aside a day every year to remember what we did wrong and how can we begin to fix it. God has a plan and purpose for you wherever you are at. Whether you're going to be famous or not so famous. Whether you're going to be wealthy or not so wealthy. Whether you're going to make a name for yourself or not. Doesn't matter. What matters is that God has a plan and a purpose for you because you are set apart from all creation and created and fashioned in his image. So often we look at what other people do and think, well, we're not enough, or we're just going to go through life and just do our thing, get by, and that's it. We'll leave those big things for other people. We'll leave those great things for other people. But we're not called to spend our lives comparing ourselves to other people. Because God has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. And that plan for Jewel is going to be different probably than the plan he has for Paige. But God has a plan for all of us. And if we start comparing ourselves to others and say, well, well, she's doing this or he's doing that, and I just can't do that, and I can't do that. We're missing the point. God has a plan and a purpose for you. Chris, if you want to put that picture up on the screen, it's a crayon and a pencil. The crayon says, I'm not sharp enough. The pencil says, I'm not colorful enough. How often is that us? Saying, well, I can't do that, God, because I'm not this or I'm not that. And the other one's looking at the same thing, looking right back at you and say, well, I can't do that because I'm not this. We get so worried about comparing ourselves to other people or saying this or this, I can't do this, that God says, you know what? I have a plan for you, crayon. I have a plan for you, pencil. Sometimes you need a pencil. Sometimes you need a crayon. And that's why God created all of us to be able to work together. Because all of us have a purpose in this life. God fashioned us all to have a plan, have a purpose. He created us for a reason. We aren't all called to be crayons. We're not all called to be pencils. We're called to be created in his image, to know him and to make him known. They are both valuable for the created purpose. We are all valued and valuable for our created purposes. Another example of this is a personal example for me. Yes, I mentioned the Eagles, but I've always grown up loving sports. I played sports as a kid, just loved it whenever we could do it at gym class and with the neighbors and so forth. I just love sports. That's me. You guys know me. You know I like the Steelers. You know I like playing sports. I am not 40 yet, but I'm getting pretty close, but I still play football every Thanksgiving morning, every year without fail. Whether I break something or not, I'm going to be out there playing, and I'm going to be there until at least I'm like 45 or 50, okay? It's just what it's going to be, sitting out there now, because I love doing things like that. I love sports, but guess what? With my 5 foot, 6 and a half, 7 foot frame, if I stretch it maybe, I was never going to be a pro NFL quarterback. I would be really good in backyard football. I could toss that ball in Thanksgiving morning. I could toss that ball pretty well, but I'm never going to be an NFL quarterback because that's not what God created me to be. That's not where I'm going to stand up and say, hey, guys, this is who brought me to this place. I'm a great quarterback, but Jesus comes first in my life. That's just not the story or the plan he had for me. He had that for somebody else. But we have to come to the point and you say, you know what? I might never be that, but where am I at? Because that's where I'm called. You know where I'm at? I've been working at Renko, the hardware store, for the past 20-some years. That's not all the fame and stuff of being a future NFL quarterback or a worldwide wrestling person or whatever you want to call it. But that's where I'm at for the last 20 years. And you know what? Maybe I'll be there for another 20 years. Maybe I won't. But that's where I'm at. That's where God has me placed at this time in my life. But even that job, even where I'm at, I need to realize that, you know what? God has a purpose for me. It might not be what I think is the best. It might not be what all I think, oh, I could do this instead, or I could be more productive with this. But this is where God has me. This is where I'm at. So what am I doing where I'm at to make God known? What am I doing where I'm at to be a light, to show his love? Where am I doing where I'm at to realize that, you know what? I am sacred and valuable, even at a hardware store. I have a purpose, even at my job. Where are you at? Doesn't matter what your job is, what you're doing with your life, where God has you right now, he has a plan and a purpose for you. You are sacred, you are set apart, and you are loved. Remember that and start running with it. Our youth group has been, we've been challenging the kids to read through the Bible, and so we've been doing that. But then several of the youth from our youth group also just like, we start doing like a devotional together. And Garrett actually picked out a devotional last week. So as a youth group, a bunch of us from the youth group decide, hey, we're going to do this. And we're reading through this devotional this week. And it was, I think Saturday was the very last day. We finished just yesterday. And so I fit this in. But we are reading through this. And it goes like perfectly with our message today. It comes from a book by Benjamin Zaire. He's a missionary to Peru.
Pretty cool.
But he wrote this book, and the book is titled Find Your Mission. And I just want to read you a little part of that. It said, from that devotional, it said, perhaps you have been searching for the meaning of your life for years. You desperately want to live your mission and overlook the fact that you are right in the middle of it. How many times do we keep on looking for something else and keep on saying, oh, well, if I could just get there, it'll be okay. If I could just do this, then I'll be doing something great for God. When the truth of the matter is you are right in the middle of your mission right now. God has placed you where you're at for a purpose. It might not be where you think you should be, but it's where God has you. Now, is God going to take you and move you further? Probably. Is he going to take you to that? Yeah, we're going to change. We're going to move. But you know what? Wherever you're at, you're in the middle of the mission that God has for you right now. We are in the middle of it. I am in the middle of it. You are in the middle of it. God's dream doesn't start with a specific task at some point in your life. Jesus is like, okay, you are now, Mikey, you're going to be turning 40 in May. Now's go time. This is where I'm going to start having you serve for me. No. As Christians, as followers of Christ, as his children, we are in the mission field every moment of every day. We are in the middle of that mission right now. You yourself are God's dream. He wanted you. He created you in his image. Your life is sacred, valuable, and has a purpose. And that brings me to my final point of today. Your neighbor's life is sacred, valuable, and has a purpose. Let me repeat that. Your neighbor's life is sacred, valuable, and has a purpose. In the same way that we were created in the image and likeness of God, we need to see the value and worth of those around us. Who is our neighbor? Anyone besides us. You're all my neighbor. The people I come in contact with, they're my neighbors. People right next door, they're my neighbor. The people 10 doors down, they're my neighbor. Your neighbor's life is sacred, valuable, and has a purpose. All people, both believers and non-believers, were created in the image and likeness of God. Guess what? I was born a non-believer. I was born in a Christian home, but I was born a non-believer. And I had to come to the place where I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. We have neighbors out there that were created in the image and likeness of God that have not come to know who they are yet. And our job is to know God and make him known, to let them understand who he is so they can start to see who he is in their life. All people reflect the image of God in some way. Every human, regardless of their potential or their accomplishments, are sacred from the moment of conception to the moment of death. All people, regardless of their race, their sex, their age, their class, or any other distinctions, deserve respect as God's creation. All people are made in God's image and therefore possess this immeasurable worth. C.S. Lewis, he said, there are no ordinary people. You have never met a mere mortal. The people you see every day, even the ones to whom you give little regard to, are the ones that are going to live forever under either salvation or under judgment. Even the most obscure person is not ordinary in God's eyes. God loves and cherishes all of us. He wants all to come. He said, I want all to come to me. We were all created in the image of God. All lives have value, from the unborn baby to the cripple to the person in their deathbed, because we are all uniquely bear the image of our Creator, the image and likeness of God. If you have a spouse, look at them for a second. Your spouse was created in the image of God. Look at your spouse again. Have you fought with them recently, in the last week or month or 20 minutes? You have to remember, repeat that. Your spouse was created in the image of God. How many of you have children? I'm looking at four of my oldest children right now. Sometimes they can get on my nerves a little bit. Sometimes they can cause a few little issues here and there. Not much. They're pretty good children. But once in a while, sometimes they can bruise your leg and your shin. Right, Garrett? But they were still created in the image of God. God created them. Your friends were created in the image of God. Your enemies were created in the image of God. Your mama was created in the image of God. That's from Malachi. He likes mama jokes. But every person we come in contact with, whether friend or foe, likable or not, was created in the image of God. Think of somebody in your life right now. Somebody that's really hard to deal with. Maybe it's me, maybe it's somebody else. But remind yourself that they were created in the image of God. Some of those people are Christians. Some of those people are following Christ. It's just like, well, God, how do I get along with this person? They were created in my image. We were all created in the image of God. We need to remind ourselves of this on a daily basis. As quoted by Ronald Reagan earlier, he said, we need to reaffirm our commitment to the dignity of every human being and the sanctity of each human life. We need to be committed to sharing with them the truth of who they are. They were created in the image of God. God has a plan and a purpose for their life. I have a coworker at work that nobody really likes at all. This person can take a job that should take maybe an hour, and they can stretch it out for 4 or 5 days. And it's like, we just look at it and we're like, why? And for whatever reason, that person is completely safe and untouchable, and the boss doesn't say anything, but all their coworkers see that, and we see what's going on day in and day out. And we get really frustrated with this person because we're all working and doing all this stuff and they really just take their time. It's not because they can't do faster, it's because they're like, I can get away with this. So they take their time. I need to see that person and remind myself that they are made in the image of God. It's not my job to be able to look at them and say, hey, well, you need to do this better, this better, this better. That's not where my position is. I need to say, hey, how can I show this person that they were created in the image of God? How can I show this person that they are loved by Jesus Christ? That's what we're supposed to be doing, is showing our neighbors, showing our coworkers, showing our families, showing these people that they are loved, that they are sacred, they are valuable, and they have a purpose. In closing, I want to quickly remind you of our 3 points today. Number one, human life is sacred and valuable. We went over verse after verse after verse showing how your life is sacred and valuable. Some of us needed to be reminded of the sanctity of life, of how valuable life is, both the born and the unborn today. Maybe God is calling you to give yourself to take a stand, a greater stand for the unprotected. Maybe God is calling you to reach out to the weak or the hurting. Or maybe as this day represents as the day to remember and to pray and to fight for the unborn, maybe you know somebody who's had an abortion, who made that decision. How can you reach out to them and show them God's love? Because God still loves them. We've all made mistakes. We've all done things. But God loves them. How can you reach out to them? Maybe that's something God's laying in your heart. How can you reach out to them and show them God's love and show them that God really loves them, that they were made in God's image? Maybe you know somebody who is considering an abortion, or you know somebody who's having a really rough time, whatever the case may be. Let them know God's truth. Let them know that they were created in God's image. Their baby was created in God's image. I mean, look at the story in the Bible when John the Baptist and Jesus first met. What'd they do? They were in each other's bellies and they jumped around with joy, right? They were excited. These babies were alive. They knew something was going on and they were in the womb. There's story after story where God says, you are alive in the womb. You are human. You have a soul, a purpose in the womb. Share God's love with these people. Secondly, your life is sacred, valuable, and has a purpose. Some of you today needed to be reminded, I know I needed to be reminded, that we have value and worth because of who God is in us, because of who God is our creator. God loves you. God created you, Emily. God has a plan and a purpose for you, Jackie. Whether you see it or not, you are in the middle of your mission. God has a plan for you right where you're at. Live it out. Realize that he loves you, Charity, and he says, you know what? This is where you're at. This is the job you're at right now. How can you use this to glorify me? This is a place you're at right now, Drew. How can you use this job to glorify me? Wherever we're at, realize that we are in the middle of the mission God has for us. And lastly, your neighbor's life is sacred, valuable, and has a purpose as well. Some of us need to be reminded that the unlikable, hard-to-reach people were still created in the image of God. God calls us to love your neighbor as yourself. God created them in his image, and their lives are valuable and have a purpose. How can you begin reaching out to them and helping them see God's reflection in their lives? And that's it. What I want to do now, and as we close in prayer, is like President Ronald Reagan started back in 1984 when he started this Sanctity of Life Day. He challenged those to gather in their homes and in their places of worship and to pray for the sanctity of human life. To pray not only for the unborn, but the born. For to pray for all human life, that we would be protected, that we would be able to live life out, that we would be able to connect with God. And so that's what I want to do in closing. I just want several of you guys from wherever you're at, both sides, not just the side of that side, several of you guys right now, if something touched you this morning, if you felt something stirring in your heart, any of those points or something else God totally just brought out, pray it out right now. And at least if nothing comes to mind, then just pray for this country. Pray for the unborn. Pray for the unprotected. Pray for the sanctity of human life. Can we do that in closing? Lord Jesus, I thank you for who we are in you. I thank you for loving us. I thank you for creating us. I thank you for giving us purpose in life, Lord. Lord, today we do want to pray for the unborn, Lord Jesus. We want to pray that you would continue your work, Lord, and continue saving more and more lives, Lord. We thank you for the change that's happened this past year, Lord, but we just pray, Lord, that we would be able to make a stand and keep things rolling towards your light, Lord Jesus. Lord, there's a battle going on right now in our country, in this world, Lord. But we know you are victorious in the end. We pray that we would fight with you, Lord Jesus. We would stand for you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we can be confident because of who we are, not in ourselves, but we can be confident in who we are because of you. Lord, that we wouldn't have to go after other ways or other things or turn aside, Lord, but we would just remember we are created in your image, Lord, for a plan and a purpose. We are created, Lord, to know you and to make you known, and that we would do that, Lord, wherever we're at, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your encouragement. We thank you for your direction. We thank you for your life, Lord Jesus. In your name, amen.
Is it a good thing to get convicted about things? One laughs, one yes. It is a good thing to still get convicted. You know why it's a good thing to get convicted still? Because that means God has done with working in your life. And he wants to make you a better person. Probably about 10 years ago, I get convicted probably once a week. I got a lot of work ahead of me. But about 10 years ago, I got convicted about something. Whenever I write an email, I used to put, if I'm writing an email, send it. I would put, the brother in Jesus, Jess. You've probably seen that. If I write an email, Neil, the brother in Jesus, Jess. But about 10 years ago, I wrote an email to somebody, and I don't know where they stand with God, or I think I do know where they stand, and it's not a good place. I just put, sincerely. And I got convicted about that, because even if they hate Jesus, don't want anything to do with him, they're still my brother. You understand what I'm saying? Like Michael was saying, so for the last 10 years, the only ones that get by without this is my family. Jeremy, Amy, Micah, Esther, Drew, Avery, just said, lovely. But the rest of them, I put, your brother in Jesus, yeah, even though I know they don't want anything to do with God. And you know what I've had happen over the years? Some of those people that I know don't want anything really to do with God might have taken them several years, but now they're writing back. Your brother in Jesus, so-and-so. Your brother in Jesus. Your sister in Jesus, so-and-so. Even just little witnesses like that, they're people that were created in God's image. And I think the more we view them that way, the better chance they'll have of viewing themselves that way. That makes sense? One of my football heroes. I don't watch much football. If I try, I usually fall asleep. But anyway, there's this football coach. He's called Tony Dungy. Ever hear that guy before? He was a great football coach. And he was actually, and I don't know of anybody here that, did anyone go down to the March of Life on Friday? Not nobody from our church. I know some people that did. Tony Dungy was one of the speakers at the March for Life. And you know, when word got out in the media that Tony Dungy is going to speak for life, he was raked over the fire. They encouraged the supporters. It's time to take your support of this guy out of here. Give it to somebody more worthy than Tony Dungy. I don't know if you could find anybody better than Tony Dungy as far as I'm concerned. But you know what he said? I am so proud to stand up for babies. I hope I can do that to the day I die. You never know what kind of impact you're going to have by taking a stand to stand up for what's right. Good job. If anybody wants one of those books, come up and see me. will live last. See you later. Thanks for coming.